everybody, and welcome to The Buzz, the Times Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts, Scott Tatey and Megan Miller, ready to talk entertainment for the last official week of summer. Yeah. Or unofficial week, I don't know.
Oh, I know, the calendar always says September 21st or something, but once Labor Day is gone, summer's over. Let's say it.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I like fall.
That just means pumpkin is literally right around the corner, so I can get on board with that.
Oktoberfest beers are already out. Jeez.
Yes, and they already have pumpkin waffles, pumpkin coffee in store, and I know pumpkin spice latte is coming back later this week.
All we need is the Smashing Pumpkins to come to town.
Right, and you know what? Maybe they can for October. But because it is still summer, we have some end-of-summer events to check out this week.
The annual Heinz Field kickoff, Rib Fest, and all kinds of free music there. Let's talk about that lineup. You got a lot of country, of course, Drake White, and Midland's the opening act, but they have the bigger hit now, that song about drinking problems, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then also the Outlaws, Country Rock, and then the Clarks. You got to have a Clark show for the Rib cook-off. That's on the Friday night. And then Low Cash, the final night, another country band.
Cool. And I know they played Gerald's not that long ago.
They did. And they also played, I think, Tequila, whatever it is, Junction, the place across from Stage AE now.
Oh, Tequila Cowboy.
Yeah, they were like the grand opening band for that. So things are getting better for them. But you know, it's a chance to, there's food and there's football-related activities. A lot of people be there. I know a lot of people go for the Clarks. It's a chance to see them for free, you know.
Absolutely.
It's usually $20 you're going to see them at Thursdays, and who knows.
Yeah, so that's a good way to kind of kick off Labor Day weekend.
No Uncle Cracker. I know you liked the year they had him.
I did a few. That was, I don't even know, like 5 years ago or so now. But yeah, I did get to see him on Labor Day. It was fun. So, but yeah, this looks like a pretty good lineup. And then kicking off the weekend, Alice Cooper will be at KeyBank Pavilion.
Yeah, actually Deep Purple's the headliner. I could go either way on if Alice or Deep Purple should headline. I have an interview that'll be in the weekend section with Steve Morse, the guitarist for Deep Purple. He flat out said this is the farewell tour. They're calling it like the long goodbye tour, and they're kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and no one in the band has said anything. I got him on the phone. He said, look, I'll say it if they won't. This is our last tour. You want to see Deep Purple? This is your last chance to hear the band that does Smoke on the Water and Highway Star and all these great classic rock songs. To me, one of the most underrated rock bands ever. They're, I think, as far as musical talent virtuosos, they're right up there with Led Zeppelin. I really do. So.
Yeah, and there's your chance to see him. And I'm sure Alice Cooper will bring all the tricks.
He'll have the guillotine. He'll chop his head off. He'll have a snake on stage. He'll have a sword. Yeah, he'll have a Frankenstein monster. You know it's coming, but you look forward to it. It's just a big, silly, fun spectacle. I guess it used to be scary, but now we've seen it so much. Now it's just kind of like reassuring. Oh, here comes the Frankenstein monster.
It's almost comforting.
It is. It really is. I guess the world got a lot scarier since he started doing this.
Yeah. Back then it was like shock, and now it's like that's not even the most shocking thing you're going to see on social media that day.
Exactly.
So and then Tuesday starts the kickoff of the Big Knob Grange Fair, the 75th annual.
That's the diamond anniversary.
Wow.
75. Yeah. And they have the things like the Demolition Derby and the Tractor Pool. Music-wise, Drew Pinciotti, a local guy from Aliquippa, Linkin Park grad. We'll be talking about him in a bit in a pretty big show he did last night. I also noticed there's a band, Yankee Gray, and I went to look it up, and it wasn't the Yankee Gray that was national. Remember years ago they had a song called All Things Considered, I'm Doing Just Fine? Remember that?
I don't.
It was like 1999. It went top six, I think, and it's not them, though. It's some other band called Yankee Gray. Oh. So don't be fooled if you're like me. Remember this obscure hit.
All excited and nope, different Yankee Gray.
The Big Knob Grange Fair, people line up. The pork chop dinner they talk about, and the food is famous. And like I said, I covered a Demolition Derby there once. It's pretty entertaining.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how you get into it.
I'll take your word for it. I've never been to a Demolition Derby.
This could be the year.
Yeah, and we will be right back.
Get ready, get set, get out this weekend. Watch every Wednesday as I, Scott Tatey, give you the scoop on local entertainment and help you plan how to get out this weekend. Sponsored by Linkin Park Performing Arts Center, a new episode premieres every Wednesday at timesonline.com/getout or watch them on our Beaver County Times Roku channel. Don't miss it. We are back at The Buzz, your entertainment podcast with Scott Tatey and Megan Miller talking music, TV, movies, whatever's got us excited entertainment-wise. I'll tell you what, I had a good time in Bruno Mars last week.
Yeah, Uptown Funk.
He ended with that, and dudes were dancing, needless to say. Yeah, Bruno, he's just nonstop entertainment. It was only 16 songs, but there was never a moment where you could catch your breath. It was just one exciting thing after the other. Him and his band, he did more dancing this time than when I saw him in 2013, which I was glad.
Was it enough, though?
Not enough. He could dance the whole time, and I'd be happy. He picked up a guitar like three times and like, no.
We don't want to see you with an instrument. Put it down and dance.
And he can play guitar. He can do like some Prince-style guitar, but hey, I want to see you dance. And he did, though. He had his band. They often did these like sort of simultaneous choreographed kind of moves, but they were packed together like in a formation, so it was kind of cool seeing them bounce around. And he's just a lively guy. It's all upbeat music and a good horn section, very diverse crowd. I thought it'd be a lot of youngers. There were even people my age there.
Oh.
Bruno Mars, how about that?
How about that?
So it's sold out well in advance, and he's two for two with sellouts in Pittsburgh, and it's good to have him. That was a show they announced way back in November, if you remember.
I do, and it seemed, especially then, the summer seems so far away, and it's just like, I'll think about it or whatever, and then it ends up selling out.
Yeah, sometimes my interest starts to wane when they announce it that far ahead of time, and this was one that kind of snuck up. Oh, yeah, Bruno's coming. Oh, yeah, I'm going to Bruno next week, and I'm glad I did. Good show.
Cool. And then last night, Billy Porter was at Heartwood Acres as part of the free concert series for the Allegheny County Parks.
Very interesting show. What'd you think?
I love him. I think he is just so ridiculously talented. It's almost like unfair that one person can be that talented.
I'll brag for you. You've interviewed him before.
I have. I interviewed him like 2 years ago before he returned home for a week of Kiki Boots at the Benenum. He is East Liberty, grew up right around East Liberty. He's a Pittsburgh native, and he is one of the greatest success stories, I think, in recent times for Pittsburgh, at least. And he came home for the weekend. He did a few charity events, and then he did the free show at Heartwood Acres on Sunday night.
Allegheny County officials are saying he made more than $400,000 for the Allegheny County Park System with the show he did Saturday. That's $400,000. They said that twice from the stage. I sent them an email this morning just to verify. One more time, are you sure? And they said yes. They said it was closer to like $460,000. It was a $250 ticket event he did Saturday. So you do the math. That would have meant like 1,600 people or so showed up. Maybe they raised money other ways too. But so like you said, it's a success story, but he remembers where he's from. He came back to help the park system, which I thought was great.
Yeah, and he also did a another one Saturday night for the Humane Rescue League?
Yes, the animal shelter there on the north side.
Yeah, he did like a cabaret style thing downtown. So yeah, so I do like that. I didn't really know what to expect just because he's an entertainer, there's no doubt about it, but he's not in a band, his foremost career isn't going around the country singing,
right.
Or I guess in a way it is, but it's on Broadway, so it's kind of, I was curious what he was going to do, like what type of songs he was going to sing, and he hit the first note, and it's like, oh my gosh, how does somebody have this much talent? But
very jazzy show, but he put a lot of fresh touches, like he added like some hip-hop to Frank Sinatra's, one of the songs, what song was it? Drawing a blank here.
Was it Ladies
of Tramp?
Yeah.
So he had some different modern twists. The band, I found out, all Pittsburgh, including the guy we mentioned a little while ago, Drew Pinciotti from Aliquippa, was a lead guitarist. The band only had one rehearsal on Friday.
But wow.
I was very, because they sounded great, I thought. And I agree with you. Billy, that Broadway background really helped because he just commanded the stage. You were riveted by his every move and the way he projected and his voice, I thought, was really good. And interesting show. He brought up some politics, though, and there was some grumbling. I saw some people get up and leave.
There was some anger. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I saw a man yelling at Allegheny County officials because he did not like what was happening. And I don't know. How do you demand your money back when it's a free show is my question. But
and Billy Porter quoted James Baldwin, the writer, that said it's an artist's job to ruffle feathers. I can't remember the exact words.
Disturb the peace.
And he said, I take my job very seriously. So he wasn't afraid to do that. And the man just made $400,000 for Allegheny County. He wants to say, give his views on some things. And most of the crowd applauded and most enjoyed it.
But it still wasn't hateful. Like it wasn't, I mean, he was very, I mean, he wasn't name calling exactly. But I mean, it was, but it never went to a, it was obviously political, but it was more in the vein of, like, we need to go forwards, we can't go backward, like, stop the hate, we just need to love everyone, like, right. that sort of. Right. So, I mean, yeah, he did mention officials by name, but he also, it was more of the, like, we need to come together for common ground type.
Right, that
type thing too.
Definitely was the theme. We're going to fight hate with love, and he did a song who here is courageous enough to love or whatever. And it was just entertaining though. Just a like you said, just a full talent in every way. The stage presence, the singing voice. Yeah, I'm really glad I got to see him.
Yeah, and he I didn't know this. He struck it big in the in the 90s and the 2000s with some. Film and TV placements, which I didn't know.
I didn't either. You mentioned he had a song in that movie First Wives Club, and then he had a song that the TV show So You Think You Can Dance used on three different episodes, he said.
Yeah, or three different seasons, did he say?
Seasons, right. Yeah. He was even a guest on one of the episodes. So, yeah, it's a good thing for Pittsburgh. I liked how he talked about how much East Liberty has changed since he grew up there. He mentioned the Target they have.
And the Whole Foods. That wasn't there many years ago.
And he was impressed the Giant Eagle was still standing. So, yeah, he had a sense of humor, too. And Carnegie Mellon guy. And, it's just a success story.
Yeah, and it was really cool that it was a free show. Because what we saw at Heartwood Acres, you probably have to pay $80 for in New York City.
No doubt.
I mean, so it was just really cool that people got to see this crazy talented guy on his home turf for free. Yeah. So keep it coming, Allegheny County Park Systems. And then speaking of keeping it coming, Taylor Swift released her new song on Friday at midnight.
We both were excited about that. In fact, I woke up, I think, at 6:50 just to listen.
I woke up a little later and, you know, had some coffee and then listened to it. And I feel like half the world already beat me on it. But
6 hours after it was released, it already had like 450,000 views or whatever. And I'm one of those people that for the most part, I like. And we've had this conversation with others around the office here that a lot of times with Taylor Swift, the first time you hear the new song, you don't like it right away. And it starts to grow on you. I wonder if this one would be the opposite. I kind of liked it the first time. The more I'm hearing it, I'm not quite as excited. But I'm stoked for the new album. I'm a big fan. Her last three albums have made my top 10 year-end list. And I'm hoping this one does well. The new single, at least it got me excited, interested. It's intriguing, but I can't see me cranking on the radio 6 months from now.
See, I feel like I have the exact opposite with that because I listened to it twice on Friday. And the first time I listened to it, it's like, oh, Taylor, why? Like, what are you doing? Just because I put her kind of in the same category as Ed Sheeran. I like their singer-songwriter stuff. They are such brilliant songwriters. They have beautiful lyrics and just wonderfully written songs. Why all the, literally, the bells and whistles and the dance, you know, music? It's like, you don't need that. Like, let somebody else with less talent do that, and you stick with the hardcore songwriting and everything. So, and that was exactly when Ed Sheeran came out with Shape of You. I'm like, meh. But then the more I crank it every single time it's on the radio, and it's on the radio a lot. And with Taylor, it was kind of like, oh, like I knew it was going to be more pop because 1989 was all pop. So I listened to it, and I'm like, what am I supposed to like this? Like, I don't know. And then I listened to it again. And then the next day, I just had my Pandora on and it just came on Pandora. And that was the first time I listened to it, not analyzing it or, you know, oh, well, who is this about? Or, oh, I don't know, this sounds different and blah, blah, blah. That I just listened to it as a song while I was like cleaning the house. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. So I'm curious, although we have said before, usually her lead-off song is the weakest one. So I'm kind of hoping that is...
It's the most attention-grabbing, too.
It's the most attention-grabbing, but with Red, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, I'm like, oh, I don't really like this. But then the favorite song that she's ever done is also on that, so on that album. So I think she's kind of going for the shock and the attention. And, you know, because everything she does is very strategic, and I'm sure this first release was very strategic. So I'm curious what the rest of the album sounds like, which brings us to Love or Loathe this week.
You go ahead. You're on a roll.
I am loving that we don't have to wait much longer for a Taylor Swift album. We've had to wait an extra year, so November 10th, Reputation drops, and I'm very intrigued. I'm a little, I don't want to say nervous, because I'm just curious where this direction is going to go based on this first song, Look What You Made Me Do.
Yeah, I've seen the Vivo video. It was kind of cool how she did sort of a film noir kind of thing. And there's already speculation. Is this song about Kanye? Is this song about Katy Perry? Which only adds to the fuel to the interest. And but I didn't see what they showed last night on the VMAs, because I was at Billy Porter, of course. What did you think about that video?
I actually liked it. I'm not a big music video person. Like, I don't really sit there and watch it. Like, I liked him back in the day when there were whole programs dedicated to him, but, like, that's kind of a thing.
TRL.
Exactly. TRL, the VH1 Top 20 Countdown and everything. But I feel like that's not really a thing anymore, so I don't fully know why everybody is putting all these resources into music videos. That's my take on it. I'm just not... Usually, yeah. If I'm listening to music, I'm doing something else. Like, I don't... Usually, like, if I pull up a music video on YouTube, the video is actually minimized and I'm doing something else on my screen, or I'm not even at my screen. So that, but I really did like it. I thought it was, it's very dramatic. It's kind of in the blank space realm a little bit, where it's just like overly, like, it's almost to the point of theatrical, and it's just very dramatic, and she just kind of covered a lot of ground in a short, in, you know, a 4-minute song.
Well, the album's called Reputation. Isn't it kind of, I don't know if it's poking fun's the right word, but she's alluding to her reputation in the video.
Yeah, and at the very end of it, which I did like, it had all of, like, from Taylor's past. Like, it had her in the gold dress at the VMAs where Kanye interrupted her. It had her in the glasses and the shirt from the You Belong With Me video, and the curly hair Taylor with the sparkly dress. And it was really funny because the one just, you know how she always reacts at award shows?
Oh, yeah.
And it had the reacting Taylor, and the other one said, "You can't be that surprised all the time."
Nice.
Like, it was just really, it was funny.
'Cause so many of us said that.
Yeah, and, like, they didn't have the dancing Taylor. But, yeah, so it was kind of poking fun of that, which I do like. I like that she has a sense of humor about it, and because she, from now until the next year and a half, she is literally going to be everywhere, because that's just when the album comes out. She is on appearances, then she's going to announce the tour, which you have to sign up on Ticketmaster for the verified, and then you have to participate, which I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like audience participation.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored of it. Part of me wants to loathe, part of me wants to love. I love the fact that it seems like there's a Pittsburgh tour date, and we would assume anyway, but what you mentioned, to sign up for to get Ticketmaster credentials, she lists Pittsburgh as one of the cities, one of the options, so it would seem like that means Pittsburgh is going to be on the new tour.
Yeah.
But like you said, you have to get, like, credits. If you watch the video, you get credit. If you buy the album, you get credit, and you have to accrue these, kind of put this stuff in the bank to give yourself a better chance of buying tickets from Ticketmaster. That is kind of unprecedented. I could see it going in bad directions.
I like the fact that she's trying to get the tickets out of scalpers' hands and the markups and into fans' hands, which I do appreciate, because buying some of the, and we've loved this on the podcast before, not her, just in general. So it is like the Hunger Games buying some of these tickets anymore. I mean, I barely could find tickets in the pre-sale for Ed Sheeran. And so I think there should be a way of filtering it a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think it's, well, you spent more money on me, you should get a first crack at tickets either. Like, it's kind of like, because my friend signed up for it, and it has, like, it shows her progress, and it's crazy. And, like, there's going to be UPS specific Taylor Swift UPS trucks going around New York City, Nashville, and Atlanta. And because I sent my friend Allison the photo, I'm like, here's your next challenge. Like, and if you see it, you're supposed to, like, take a photo and tweet at her with a special hashtag, and that will bump you up. And it is so unprecedented, and I'm glad it's somebody like her doing it, and not like Fifth Harmony, or, you know, like, yeah. It's somebody who, those tickets are gonna go fast. She's broken records at Heinz Field before, but I don't know, like, can we just go back to the days where I can just buy my tickets and not have to strategize, like, plans A, B, C, and D of, if I can't get these tickets, then what do I do? It's just, it's too much.
Nostalgic for the days we used to sleep outside record stores.
Well, I don't want to go back that far. I like to sleep in my own bed. I don't want to camp with Taylor Swift fans, but there has to be somewhere in between.
I agree. I mean, it's good if there's going to be actual serious fans there with you. I remember, like, at the U2 concert, people sitting behind me didn't even seem like they knew what the band was, and I kind of wanted to smack them. So if this ensures that the true fans are there, that's great. But if it gets to be a contest, you have to prove, well, I'm just as big a fan as you because I bought the album, and all right, you know. I'm not too crazy about that.
But at the same time, is anybody buying those tickets and they're not buying the album?
Probably not.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. So it's, I hope it goes well so it's not a disaster trying to get tickets or, you know, somebody doesn't like enough of her social media posts that they get denied tickets. Like, I don't like that because I could see that, you know, that happening. Yeah. And that I don't like. And I don't really want this to set the precedent that other artists now do this.
A bit of a Big Brother-ish thing.
It's just kind of, it's just a little, it's just an awful lot of effort to pay $80 to go to a concert.
And I'm one of those people who believes no matter what, scalpers always find a way. I mean, they're like ants at a picnic. You're not going to keep them out no matter how you try.
Yeah, I like that she is trying, and Ed Sheeran did it as well. Although, I'm curious, because you had to register for a Ticketmaster and then you got a code texted to you. But every single person I know that registered for the code got one. So I don't know how exclusive it was. And I don't know. Because at the end of the day, if she's, I'm assuming she would be at Heinz Field. We don't know that.
It'd be cool if she did the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
That would be really cool. Is that less or more?
It's less, but okay. Still.
But I mean, she is gotten 57,000 people there. So at the end of the day, 57,000 tickets need to be sold for this. So, I mean, it can't be overly exclusive or they're going to have empty seats and nobody wants that. So I don't know. We kind of took it on a turn that we're kind of loathing or semi-loathing the practice of this. But I do...
But glad she's coming to Pittsburgh.
Yes, I'm very glad that she's coming to Pittsburgh. I'm very glad that there's new music because she broke her pattern. Like, last year it was supposed to... She usually releases on the even years and tours on the odd years. And she broke that. And I'm wondering if that was on purpose. Like, I know she had just had gone through a legal trial. And I'm sure that took a lot of effort, energy, time, emotionally, and everything else. But... I think this is kind of a positive thing for her, too. Like, it's something to look forward to now. Like, that's kind of behind her, and now she can get back with the fans. The fans have new music, and...
We need her. We need to talk about her. We need to watch what she's doing, listen to her, so I'm glad she's back.
Yes, I'm very glad, and I'm just really excited to see where the rest of this album is going to go, so...
I have a feeling we'll be talking about that.
I'm sure that might be a future love on the, maybe like the November 15th podcast or, you know, whatever. So I guess that'll do it for this week.
I agree.
Good. Thank you for joining us. As always, you can follow along on this podcast at timesonline.com/podcast or on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher Radio. A new episode airs every Monday.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. And
I always talk about Twitter, how we tweet or anytime we get breaking entertainment news, we're happy and quick to share it. I'm at Scott Tatey.
I'm at Meg Wrights, MeggWrites.
I like that new name.
Oh, thank you. So, and tune in and we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Great. Thanks for listening.